I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If this doesn't get you in the football mood, I don't know what would. On a Monday ahead of Monday Night Football, welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Danny's in D.C. I'm in Milwaukee. In fact, I'm sitting in American Family Field right now with the roof closed, getting ready for NLCS baseball, covering the Dodgers and the Brewers for MLB Network Radio. But Danny, we're brought to our listeners today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad. We want to thank them for making the show possible. They help you with whatever you need. They'll draft a will. They will put together a living trust or a medical power of attorney for you as well. Schedule a consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. In 1 hour, we're giving away Caps tickets. We've got five pairs this week, every day at 4 ahead of the Beltway Blitz. We'll give away a pair of tickets to see the Caps at Capital One Arena. And in 2 hours from right now, Jay Gruden joins the show to preview the Commanders and the Bears. Former head coach coached many a Monday night game in Northwest Stadium. So we'll talk to him about that matchup coming up on G&D. Danny, let's get to our poll of the day right now. We're asking people on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account, who will have the biggest game for the Commanders tonight as they host the Bears on Monday Night Football? Debo, Dorrance Armstrong, Bill, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, or Frankie Louvu? Who's your vote?
Debo Samuel. That's where the offense goes through, and he's going to be noticeable. I think, we'll come in tomorrow with a don't forget about or, hey, let's take a look at. Dorrance Armstrong, I think, will have an impact. I think Frankie Louvu, you'll notice him. But the ball's going to be in Debo Samuel's hands double-digit times. And it's going to be in space. He's going to be running. And he's going to have an opportunity for some yards after the catch, out of the backfield, crossers, et cetera, and so on. I think he scores a touchdown tonight. He'll be the most noticeable. I don't want to call this the Debo game, but I think we might be thinking of it as the Debo game if they win.
So I think Kroski-Merritt goes for over 100. I think he gets 15 carries. And I'm with the 65% of people that have voted for him, the heavy leader right now, on the poll that's being done on the Fan Twitter account. You can go vote. It is our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. Local, long distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades of best in class service and experience. Danny, I'm hearing some rumblings from back in D.C. where you and the crew are that we have a developing wacky bit. Is Toby really going to leave the studio after the show to drive home, only to then come back to the studio before the game so that he can get a jersey to wear during the game?
This is what I'm hearing. So it feels very Schefter, my report. So if I may, what I have heard to this point, it's not definite, but it seems as if Toby and Toki have agreed. He can't do anything not having his Washington jersey. He's going to go home to rest it during rush hour. He'll then turn around, come back to D.C. to watch the game and do postgame with Doc after the game ends. This is an insane decision, but it's his to make. Back to you, Boom.
It sounds to me like you missed the word trending. Otherwise, that's the perfect Schefter.
There it is, yeah.
It's trending toward.
Trending toward.
So So I didn't realize. When did Toby move to the Navy Yard? Because he's always lived way out
he's
in Reston
far,
area.
Yeah, yeah. That's must be the only. I mean, when I was in Palisades, not far from Georgetown University, I wouldn't do this. I'd be like, yeah, I'm stuck here. I'm not going back home. That's too far. That's too ridiculous.
Well, I'm old enough to remember when Toki lived out by the Udvar-Hazy, you know, Chantilly or wherever he lives, not far from Ashburn.
The Dilly and Chantilly,
so,
yeah.
So, Toby, which building in the Navy Yard are you in? Are you in the one above Walters, over by the ballpark? Are you in the one closer to us over here at 10K?
I'm the
and,
one.
And how are you liking the new apartment?
Yeah, I'm the one where you watch the planes land at Dulles. Not Reagan, Dulles. Yeah, I'm still out, you know, the old apartment in Udvar-Hazy area.
Are you really going? Tell me Darris has just got his information incorrect. You're not leaving at 6:30 to drive there and drive back by kickoff, to be in the car for at best 90 minutes and probably a lot more than that, just to get a jersey to wear for the game. Tell me that's not what's happening.
So two things. One, now that I've thrown the bit into the ether and now that it's made the airwaves, I think I have to commit and go for it. Two, I was going to do it anyways because it's my thing. I have to do it. I have to wear a jersey during the game. I
now,
have
did
to
you
do
forget?
It.
Is that how we got
I
here?
I forgot it. I went to grab my clothes out of the car that I was going to have for extra for later on, and I was like, no JD5 jersey with those clothes. So I was like, well, probably going to have to drive home.
Do you have any Commander's gear on or any that you could wear during the game?
Yeah, I have a hoodie. I have a short sleeve hoodie. I have a T-shirt on.
He's got his Washington hat on. It's burgundy.
Yeah, we're all good to go in terms of the Washington gear, but this is
okay,
pre- and post-game attire.
What about, and hear me out, I see our buddy Slick Vic Ferreira. I see him in my eye line right now. You can't see him, Grant, but I see him. He's got a Washington polo shirt on with the Block W. Would that count? That looks like official team gear. Like, Vic might be a special teams coach.
No.
You couldn't swap with him?
Now, the only other thing that I have considered, which would cost me a little bit more money to our boss CK's point from earlier, I have considered running to a store and buying a Jaden Daniels jersey because that would be quicker than going all the way home.
It would be quicker.
Well, it's not like there's any right by this walkable from where we work, though. So the whole point is you're leaving the garage, getting in a car, driving, even in that situation, probably across the river to like Pentagon City Mall or something like that, only to then get back in the car, get back on 395 14th Street Bridge, whatever that shebangus looks like at that time, and then go back to the... I mean, you're still costing yourself an hour or so.
Yeah, I mean, my time's not that valuable, so it'll be okay.
Toby, why don't... Think about this,
yeah.
Okay? We're going to get off air at about 6:30, right? Why don't you just wear the hoodie with the T-shirt and the hat, whatever you're wearing now, go get yourself something delicious in the Navy Yard right there. Have a nice dinner, nice relaxing meal. If you want to eat healthy, you could do a nice, you know, salad with some type of salmon. I know you love a fish.
There's a new cookie joint right there on Half Street.
Get a side dish. If you don't want to eat healthy, you could get something fried and wonderful and crunchy and then go eat some ice cream. There's a Cold Stone Creamery a couple blocks from us. And then you get back in the studio. And you get your feet up, and you set your fantasy lineup. You do all the stuff you want to do, put a couple of bets in on FanDuel, and it's just a calm, peaceful build-up to kickoff. What about that?
I'm going to pass on that. I like the idea. Now, Danny throwing out the cookie idea, I'm definitely passing on that because I don't want him to make me regret it on Wednesday. But regardless of the fact, too, I forget what game it was. I think it might have been two games ago against the Raiders. I was watching it at home, going to do the post-game show afterwards. And I was sitting in my chair, watched the opening kickoff without the jersey on and forgotten, was so disappointed in myself. It's just, it's something I have to do.
Well, but they won.
It's my fandom thing. I have to be wearing a jersey.
When is the last time you watched a Commanders game without a jersey?
Years. I don't remember the last time.
And what happened that scarred you so bad where you said, I could never make that mistake again?
I can't do it.
Can't do it.
It's not even the fact that I know you guys are going to Joan. I know it's going to be something that's brought up. I couldn't let myself. I wouldn't be able to live with myself.
Is there anybody there wearing a jersey? Could they just lend you theirs? Is that okay?
Well,
like if Jeff normally walks around in a jersey, assuming he was still there, but I doubt that very seriously.
Yeah, he is vapor at this point. Long gone. Yeah.
They've been off the air for 68 minutes, so he's been gone for 67 or whatever. But if Jeff still was wearing a jersey and he was just out there working on something with Mullins, could you just wear his, or does it have to be your specific Daniels jersey?
It doesn't have to be my specific jersey, but, I mean, well, I'd prefer to wear my jersey.
Well, listen to this, though, Grant. He also rejected Are you going to bring this up, Ryan?
Yeah.
You do it. Go ahead. He rejected this.
I live 10 minutes away from here. I'm like, hey, like, you can come to my apartment. Like, I'm actually making dinner tonight. Like, you could have my Sean Taylor jersey, and then you just come back in studio by 7:30.
Oh, this is perfect.
But listen to this.
Well, with all due respect to Rhino, and I love Rhino, we're also doing Operation Less Fat so that I could fit into his jersey. I don't think that I would fit currently into his jersey. Also, I would like to wear my Jaden Daniels jersey.
He said before the show, well, Sean Taylor doesn't play for the team right now. And everyone's like, well, that's fine. He goes, well, you notice I haven't worn my Terry McLaurin jersey all year. I haven't worn or for the last several weeks. I haven't worn a number of guys. He can't wear a jersey that's not of an active player.
I mean, this is ridiculous. I just don't know what to do with it. This is insane. Now, it's your fandom, and you should do with it what you want. But the amount of extra work you're causing yourself, I am a low-stress guy. Like, can I get rid of anxieties and stresses? Then I'm going to do it. You're going, how can I make this the most stressful, anxious night?
What tightrope can I walk with? They shoot BBs at me.
You think that I'm stressed about this. I'm not. And it also shouldn't be shocking that the guy that owns 150 jerseys might have some superstitions about wearing a jersey on game day.
No, it's not that you should be stressed about the jersey part. It's that you're getting in a car in the Washington, D.C. area at 6:25 or whatever tonight to drive 40 minutes to grab something, to get back in a car and drive exactly back to where you were in 50 minutes or whatever.
You're doing the commute again voluntarily.
It's a 90-minute out of 100-minute. And by the way, that's if everything goes smoothly. It could not go smoothly. But you're doing 90 minutes in a car in rush hour, stopping, starting, traffic, guy cuts you off and yells names at you.
Construction where no one's actually constructing, just the barrels that are orange on one of the lanes. You just can't go there, and there's just a truck with an arrow that says left. You're signing up for that?
Absolutely. Willingly.
Oh, my God.
Willingly and unnecessarily. For no reason.
Now, I'm not Team Toby here. I'm Team everybody else because what Toby's trying to do is crazy. But I will give him the benefit of the doubt on one point. It is a holiday today, and there's not been much traffic.
It is a Johnny.
So, there is that. That works in his favor.
Okay, so now it's just 44 minutes in each direction, and you don't have to worry about it being 70.
The miles are still the miles, man.
Well,
by the way, hold
gas.
How much does gas cost?
Well, first of all, I drive a Prius.
$17
He does
gas.
Drive a Prius.
I drive a Prius, so we can relax on the gas thing. Also, if you do the math correctly, if we get done at 6:30, if it takes 90 minutes, 8:15 kickoff, I got 15 minutes of play there.
Can you imagine doing this?
I mean, this is just insane.
Can you imagine doing this?
It just is. Darius told me this, and I'm like, that's ridiculous. I said, that's not happening. What's the next thing you want to talk about? He's like, no. This is an ongoing
situation. You need to chronicle this for us to make sure that like you're there and when it doesn't go well.
I'll post a picture.
Exactly.
So here's my last question on this.
So my thing, I guess, that would be a comp to your jersey wackiness is I do not get to games late, and I never miss a play of a game. So even tonight, as an example, if this is another thing we could get into, Danny. Because I'm working an LCS game during a Commanders game, there is a chance that this would be the first time in my entire life that I miss a live play of a Commanders game. There's a chance that happens. Now, I am hopeful that it doesn't, and I'm going to have my phone on, and I'll be watching the entire game, even when I'm down in the bowels of the stadium getting ready to run out of the field for post-game to get a player interview or whatever. But I guess it's possible, depending on when the game ends, that like I'm going to be interviewing Mookie Betts or something on the field while the Commanders have the ball in the fourth quarter or something.
Yeah, two-minute drills happening, and you're like, Mookie, what we do that last at bat?
I will have missed a play for the first time in my life. I don't do that. But I'm getting somewhere with this. So in Toby's case, like to me, the priority is you absolutely have to be wherever you're going to be before the game kicks off, because I'm never going to listen to a play in the car. I'm never not going to be in front of a TV or at the stadium. Got to be watching the game. What if you don't get there on time? Is that okay that you're just in your car for like the first quarter or something?
I hope the police is not listening, but I'll still be watching the game.
He's putting the pedal on that Prius.
Yeah, don't worry.
I guess it's different because you were out of market. You were out of market, so you probably did miss plenty of games.
No. I have not missed a snap. No, we're similar in that vein. Now, I'm willing to watch it on the phone in the car. I can make that happen. There was a game last year that I had to watch entirely on the phone, and it'd be spotty at times, so I'd have to flip to radio and figure stuff out. But yeah, I mean, I can live with that circumstance, but I'm assuming at worst I miss the first 5 minutes of the game and have to watch it on my phone.
See, that's your jersey, but for me. If that was a possibility in any way, it doesn't matter what it is, out. Can't do it, can't happen, can't coach with him, can't win with him, can't do it. I don't want to say that I hope he misses kickoff so that he learns an important lesson. I don't want to say that, Danny. So I will not be saying.
So you're not going to say that. That's something you're going to say.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and for the record, Grant, I hope you're not interviewing Mookie Betts tonight. I hope you're interviewing Christian Yelich or Bryce Terang or Andrew Vaughn or someone like that.
That's true. Brewers Toki does hope
Brewers
that.
Brewers Toki.
Yeah. It's very possible. I'm all for a team with a $121 million payroll showing out against a team with a $354 million payroll. I think America can largely agree with that, Tobes. All right, good enough. So we will update you on Toby's quest to get his jersey as the night goes on. Maybe he'll have to do live reports with the pregame show as to whether or not he makes it back in studio. Danny, I want to get burning questions here on the Commanders and the Bears. I've got three on both sides of the ball. So I'll ask these. I want to get your answer. I'll give you my quick answer, too. We'll go rapid fire. Number one, Chris Rodriguez has not practiced this week like he normally does, and there's a chance that he will be limited or out, I suppose. If that is the case, if he does not play or can't play as himself, is it Bill all the time, or do we see more McNichols? Krosky Merritt is coming off of a career-high 27 snaps, a career-high usage, 50% of plays. He leads the NFL in yards after contact per run at 4.7, highest running success rate in the NFL over 60%, still leads the NFL as yards per carry category as well, 6.6. So do you think it's the Bill show, or do you think we see more McNichols?
I think it's more McNichols. Now, you're going to see a heavy dose of Bill. They'll major in Bill, but they'll have a minor in McNichols. I think because of pass pro, because of the trust there, there's going to be situations where he gets more looks than you think. And, you know, again, you're always looking to go against type at times, right? Where McNichols trots onto the field, okay, you're thinking pass, a la J.D. McKissick or Chris Thompson over the years, maybe get a favorable look. Maybe it's a check to, maybe it's an RPO, gets a certain look, etc. But I think McNichols gets double-digit touches or close to it.
So I guess my question is, last week it was like a 95-5 split, Bill and everybody else, until the last couple minutes of the game. Do you think it looks like that, or do you think it's like 60-40?
Like 65-35, to kind of cheat on it. But yeah, okay. So 60-40 close to that.
So I'm going to go like the 90-10 thing. I think it's the Bill show. McNichols gets the occasional Chris Thompson carry out of the shotgun. Let's go to Deebo Samuel. Do they force feed Deebo again, or do they try to really involve somebody else in the passing game? Deebo targeted on 30% of passes this season for Washington, highest of his career, fifth highest in the NFL. Catch rate is 79%, also the highest of his career. That's number six in the NFL. He's having a great year. Look at what he does on the outside. 16 targets, 14 catches, 2 touchdowns. Second most yards per route run in the NFL right now as an outside receiver. Target rate is way up at 46% when he runs a route out wide from his career and in San Francisco. He's also got the highest rate in the NFL. Again, when he's running a route from out wide, he's targeted almost half of the time, Danny. That is crazy. 5 or 6 targets for another receiver, or is it all Deebo all the time?
All Deebo all the time. It's they're only not going to him when they have to, or when something's schemed up, or the look maybe takes you elsewhere. But I think they understand, with no Terry McLaurin, no Noah Brown, this is it. This is the passing game, and it's going to go through Deebo Samuel.
I think this is one of the most important questions of the game here, and how the question gets answered might determine who wins the football game. Can the Bears keep Jaden Daniels from making plays as a scrambler? Here's some numbers for you. Daniels has scrambled on 20% of his dropbacks this season. That's the highest rate in the NFL. Shouldn't surprise you. He was the leading rusher as a scrambler last year. Now, 7% of the time when he scrambled, he is reset to throw. 13% of those dropbacks when he scrambled, he actually runs, which is also highest in the NFL. He has scrambled and thrown for 105 yards, fourth most in the league. The Bears' defense has actually done a very good job at not allowing quarterbacks to do much with their legs. 46 rushing yards on scrambles is top 7. 11.5 yards per scramble, though, is second worst. So I looked into it. I'm like, wait a second. Why do they give up so many yards when guys scramble, but they never give up a lot of yards in games? Well, they have played Geno Smith, who doesn't really run, Dak Prescott, who doesn't really run, Jared Goff, who's never run in his life, and J.J. McCarthy, who is more athletic, but on that night didn't really run. So I think that's more about the quarterbacks they've played, that they've been so good at not allowing guys to leave the pocket. They've only faced one pass off of a scramble like a play extension running quarterback. All season it went for 12 yards. So my guess is Daniels could actually put up some numbies against them in that way.
That's my feeling. So to me, I go, wow, okay, are they really good at this? Like you think of the Chargers last week. They'd actually done a really good job of limiting quarterback runs, but you know, you could maybe have them on the ground a little bit. And you kind of looked at it and you went, okay, maybe this will be less for Jaden Daniels. Well, you look at this one, and as you said, they've played four statues. Yeah, McCarthy's a bit more athletic than that, but at this stage in his career, Dak Prescott's not going anywhere. Geno Smith can move around some, but it's not, again, what Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson or anybody is. And Jared Goff hates running. He's moving a little bit around to reset and throw. So I actually think this has nothing to do with them, like, you know, being brilliant at linebacker, having some sort of complicated scheme that negates the ability for quarterbacks to run. I think Daniels will do just fine on the ground tonight.
Defensively, looking at some burning questions. Commanders, Bears, ahead of Monday Night Football. Danny's in D.C. I'm in Milwaukee. What is the plan to slow down Rome Odunze, the first Bears player to score a touchdown in each of the first four games of the season for Chicago since Walter Payton, a Hall of Famer, did it back in 1986. He's the only player in the NFL who scored a touchdown in every game in the first 4 weeks of the season for his team. And he's on an 85-catch, 1,250-yard pace, target counts of 9, 11, 7, and 8. They are going to throw him the football. Do you travel with him, with Marshawn Lattimore? I doubt it. Do you bracket coverage against him and then take your chances with DJ Moore, who's chewed this team up and spit them out in the past? I am nervous about Rome Odunze in the red zone tonight.
Yeah, rightly so. I'm nervous about him from the one to the opposite goal line. I think that dude is awesome. And DJ Moore, as you said, has torched them in the past. They've got options in the pass game. And I think this is where Chicago is going to be successful tonight. I mean, to me, the plan is to hit Caleb Williams. I think it's soft zones. I think it's work underneath. I think it's rally to the football. I don't think they want to expose their corners to, you know, tight press man, even though that's what Lattimore's done well over the course of his career. But again, I think that guy is long gone. That's 4 or 5 years ago, Marshawn Lattimore. I think they're going to try to play soft and keep everybody in front, try to rally to the football.
I wonder how the Commanders are going to combat 12 personnel. That's the next question for this defense. Chicago throws 31% of their 12 personnel setup, fifth highest in the NFL. That's two tight ends. So they like getting the extra tight end on the field, making you think they're running it and then going play action. That's what Ben Johnson did a lot of in Detroit as well. Caleb Williams has thrown an NFL best 4 touchdowns out of that personnel grouping. He's ninth highest rated quarterback in two tight end or more situations. Last week we saw Jordan McGee kind of a heavier look with an extra linebacker. Do they roll with that? Is that something they liked? Or do they go with an extra DB and take their chances at stopping the run? That's what I think they'll do. That's what I would do. But I'm curious to see how they defend this team when they put two tight ends on the field, because they do throw it out of that look more than everybody else.
I think you'll see some more Jordan McGee, and Bobby Wagner spoke about this to some assembled media in a little bit of a scrum, and you know, he said that's a good thing because the young man can play. I think, though, you're probably right. I would take my chances with DeAndre Swift getting the football rather than some of these guys in the secondary running free. If you'd like to run it against my lighter box, run it against my nickel setup, by all means, I will take my chances on that. I know where I'm vulnerable, and it's on the back end. So if you'd like to hand it to DeAndre Swift, please do that as many times as you feel appropriate.
One other just number, fun matchup here. Does Joe Witt continue to disguise coverages as often as he has? They've changed at the snap coverage looks 28% of the time, which is third most in the league, and Caleb Williams has chewed that up. He's fifth best against disguise coverages with a rating over 111. Be interested to see either if they go strength on strength and say they do it better, or if they try to avoid that, because Ben Johnson's had some easy outs, some easy button stuff for him when they can anticipate what kind of changes you're making after the snap. Grant and Danny on the fan. Shout out to Ryan, by the way, who just texted me that we've got a new Toby Altizer character, which is Brookie. Brookie Altizer, the Brewers, Toby, who's really excited about the NLCS tonight. Brookie. So we've got Toby, we've got Toki, we've got Brookie.
Brookie.
All working for us on the show today. Love that. Next, let's scout the opponent. We will get the latest on the Bears with a gentleman who covers them on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting you ready for Monday Night Football, the Commanders and the Bears. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. We are live, and we're taking you up to 6:30 tonight. Thank you for making the show part of your day. It is time to get the latest on Chicago. Let's do some scouting. And to help us do that, we've got Mark Grody of 670 The Score, our Odyssey sister station in Chicago. Mark, happy game day. Thanks much for the time. Let's just start with the import of this one, coming off of a bye at 500 for a Chicago team that's won a couple in a row.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about it on our show here in Chicago that, you know, I believe that this is an inflection point for specifically their head coach, Ben Johnson. You know, you get the team, you had an awful start, you lose two games in really poor fashion, and then you win the next two. The Dallas game was great. The Bears, it was a struggle to beat Las Vegas, but they beat them. They're 2-2, and here the Bears are off the bye week. What do you got, Ben Johnson? How do you make this team better? How do you, you know, I don't know if he's thinking about avenging anything because he wasn't here last year, but this is a challenging game for the Bears to go on the road to play a Commanders team that seems to be getting its stuff together right now, and you know, what can you improve and show something after a bye week? You know, how good, how much of a genius are you, Ben Johnson? Show everybody. So it's a big moment. I feel like as big of a moment can be in the fifth game of the season for the Bears.
Mark, give us a Caleb Williams State of the Union here, just whether it's public perception, vibe, how he's played, etc.
Yeah, well, the big thing that he's gotten better at this year is avoiding sacks. I mean, he was the most sacked quarterback last year, and a lot of that, you know, of course, can be attributed to the offensive line, which they've revamped this year. But a lot of it was self-imposed by Caleb Williams. So he has certainly improved in that regard. He is also, you know, seems to have a better connection this year with Roma Dunze. Roma Dunze putting up some big numbers. The biggest issue right now for Caleb Williams still is doing the simple stuff better. You know, Ben Johnson specifically called out the screen game, basically saying that it's bad right now. Some of the gimme passes, things like that, taking advantage when you're in the red zone. You know, when last we saw the Bears playing 2 weeks ago against Las Vegas, the defense was turning the ball over left and right, and the Bears offense was not putting the ball into the end zone. So finishing, I think, and, you know, one of the big problems last year for Caleb Williams was the first half of play, and then he would come to life in the, as you guys saw in the game last year, where they had that drive that everybody thought the Bears were going to win on the Roschon Johnson pass. There was a lot like his season last year, and while the first halves have not been as bad for Caleb Williams this year, it's still something of a bugaboo relative to how well he plays in the third and fourth quarters.
How good and sure is your take now, and how strong are you on Caleb Williams being in the answer, the franchise quarterback, a second contract guy. Are you guys kind of convinced yet?
No, I can't call it yet. I think that we are seeing, you know, incremental progress. It's important that we are seeing him be better than he was last year, but relative to being selected the number one overall pick, relative to being called a generational quarterback, relative to all of us breathlessly using the word elite when it came out of USC, not there yet. Not there yet. You know, even in terms of leadership, I think the leadership is better for Caleb Williams this year, but it's still imperfect. So I still think that it's a work in progress. You know, there hasn't been that huge discernible jump yet. Better, but not there yet.
Mark Grody, 670 The Score, helping us break down the Bears here on Grant and Danny. All right, let's go to that offensive line. I know a certain left tackle's out tonight. How has that unit played this year? What do you expect from them this evening?
Yeah, I mean, they have an entirely new interior of their offensive line, you know, led by the center, Drew Dolman, and, you know, Joe Tooney, obviously, who everybody knows is, you know, great chief for so long, and then Noah Jackson on the right side. But the big deal this week, guys, is that the Bears are going with an undrafted guy from last year. He's in his second year. His name is Theo Benedet. He is going to be the Bears' left tackle, starting left tackle tonight for the incumbent starter, Braxton Jones, who essentially was benched. And again, Theo Benedet, this is a guy who spent the entire year on the practice squad and rose up during training camp when there was a competition at left tackle. Honest to God, guys, I can tell you this because I admitted it on Chicago radio today. When Theo Benedet, when they first started putting this guy in at left tackle during training camp, I thought it was a prop. I thought that he was being used to motivate Braxton Jones and their second-round pick, Ozzie Trapillo, who seems to be better suited as a right tackle at this point. And this kid out of British Columbia comes out of nowhere, basically, to rise up through the ranks, to get into that competition, and then the guy, and he did, you know, for the record, it's not his first start. He did start at right tackle for the Bears last year, and then they benched Braxton Jones, the usual left tackle, and we saw Theo Benedet slide over there against Vegas, and here we are. He will get his first start at left tackle tonight. Darnell Wright is good to go for the Bears on the right side. He had been injured and missing a game against Vegas, but he's going to be playing. He's going to have a brace on his elbow. So there is a little bit of question and potentially vulnerability at the tackle spots for the Bears tonight.
Talking Chicago Bears in D.C. to take on the Commanders on Monday Night Football with Mark Grody of 670 The Score. This defense statistically is horrific, and they just don't stop the run at all. Have they been as bad as the numbers, number one and number two? They get three starters back tonight. How different could that look, in your opinion?
Yes, they have been bad against the run. The numbers don't lie in this case. They gave up 240 plus, or maybe it was 240 on the dot, rushing yards to Las Vegas. And I don't have my notes in front of me, but every, like, you go through every single game log for the Bears this year, you'll see at least a run of 20 or longer in most of the games that the Bears have played. Like, the explosive runs have been killing the Bears even since last year. This is nothing new. So unfortunately, we are seeing way too much of it. Now, you mentioned some of the guys that are going to be back. TJ Edwards, their best linebacker, is expected to play tonight. Kyler Gordon, their very versatile slot cornerback, is a guy that will get nosy in the run game too. He likes to get physical. So I think that those guys will help. But really, really, it just comes down to the defensive line and somebody needing to step up, make a tackle for loss, you know, make a big play. Just hasn't been a lot of those. Now, Grady Jarrett, a defensive lineman who the Bears signed this year, who has spent, you know, a decade in Atlanta, not playing in this game, and he's been dealing on and off with a knee injury essentially since the beginning of the year. So that's part of the issue. But the Bears just have not had, and this includes Montez Sweat, who I know you guys are very familiar with. You know, he's only got one sack and 11 tackles this year, so there just hasn't been a guy to step up and make that, like, big moment flash play on the defensive line this year.
Yeah, there hadn't been a ton of sacks. Is it one of those just fluky things where they've been close a bunch of times, or is this not a great pass rushing group?
Unfortunately, it's not a good pass rushing team, and the Bears, you know, they went through all this last year when Montez Sweat's numbers dipped down to 5+ sacks last year. They brought in Dio Odangbo, who they signed out of Indianapolis, and you know, they were expecting to like throw him all over the line and maybe get him to break through for a few sacks. But yeah, it's just really, I mean, again, not a new thing. Like, the Bears have struggled against to get to the quarterback, and I am well aware of how good the Washington Commanders have been at getting to the quarterback. So it's been a problem. Dennis Allen, you know, their new defensive coordinator, who, you know, you guys know, and, you know, he's well respected, but he has not figured it out either. It's still early, but it is a problem.
So we'll let you out on this one. What's your gut feel, your prediction for tonight?
Well, I predicted on the podcast, I do Take the North, that Washington would win this game. I think, like, I have to do these predictions everywhere, so sometimes I forget the score that I gave, but I do believe I said on the podcast that it would be 31-24 Washington Commanders win this game.
Mark, appreciate you, man. Enjoy it tonight, but not too much, I hope.
Appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you,
buddy.
Be good. Outstanding. Mark Grody helping us scout the Bears ahead of Monday Night Football as we're closing in now on a little over 4.5 hours or so away from kickoff at Northwest Stadium. Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We will theme it to Monday Night Football, though. Remember, we got Caps tickets in 20 minutes on Grant and Danny.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday, October 13th, 2025. Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to Monday Night Football. The Commanders and the Bears, great sports night. The NLCS gets started with the Dodgers and the Brewers in Milwaukee. That's where I am, at American Family Field. Let's get to a double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers, now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. Danny, what is your game plan for game night? Are you going to be at home posting up, ordering some takeout, having friends over? What do you got going?
We will be at home, and it's, you know, I want to be on delay to start it, then I'll play catch up as it goes. Just getting all the children, because they're home from school today, planned holiday, normal holiday, totally reasonable. I get it. This is one of those national holidays where most people are off. This is a normal one. The ones I can't handle, it's like a Wednesday in the middle of September. Anyway, point is, getting the baby sleep, getting the 7-year-old fed and showered, and the 12-year-old asking him why he's so surly. Like, we'll do the whole deal, get everybody settled and sorted, and then I will get started and be able to fast forward through the in-between plays and some of the commercial stuff. And I'll probably be caught up by around 8:30, 8:40.
So I was talking earlier about how I never have missed a play and I just can't. You have to do this thing where with your older kids, they all play sports for some reason inexplicably on the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
They are playing sports on Sunday, and so almost always you never see games live. You often can catch up by the end of the game,
yep.
And we'll get like 5 or 6 angry texts from you like 2 hours behind about something that happened in the first quarter and the third quarter or whatever.
Yeah, like you guys are already on to the comeback is for last week, for example. Like I can't remember which kid. I mean, there's so many games. But it's in the middle of the Washington game. I finally get home, and I'm racing to start it, and you guys are already on to the comeback. You know that it's now 17-10 Washington, but I'm sitting there angrily texting about what strip club the guys went to the night before in L.A. when it's 10-0, and they're walking down the field about to make it 17-0.
Well, I'm always initially like, what is he talking about? And then I realize, oh, he's literally 14 plays back or whatever it is. Like you're like, jump on the ball. And I'm like, what? No, there's no ball to jump on here.
It's a commercial break, dude. Yeah.
You're a great father, and God bless you. I hope I'm in a different world in either that the societal change takes place where we all decide we just wake up one morning and say no one's playing sports on Sundays. That's kind of my hope before my kids get there in a couple of years. Or maybe we just don't do those sports. It's just going to have to be that we don't do that.
Because
Sundays are for football. That's what Sunday's for, the NFL.
I would love for that to be the case, but it's, there are only so many days in the week, man. You got to get the games in. The ones that are hard are when it's like, oh, there's a rain out or something, and you thought it was free, you thought your feet would be up, or it's a morning game that gets pushed back, or there's some sort of weird double dip. Like this weekend, I woke up at 5:30 in the morning on Sunday morning to be in Upper Marlboro in Darius's area for an 8 p.m. First kick. I mean, what? Come on, man. What are we doing? But the whole point is they got to get the games in. They're worried about the rain, etc. But the 5:30 a.m. wake-up call. Man, oh, man, is that a kick in the giblets.
That's brutal.
Yep.
So we've got a 4 p.m. opportunity to give away Caps tickets coming up in a little over 10 minutes. And at 5 p.m. today, Danny will be joined by Jay Gruden. I say Danny will be because I'm getting ready to bail for the last couple hours of the show out here in Milwaukee. I'm getting ready to do our pregame show on MLB Network Radio ahead of the NLCS. So looking forward to hearing what Jay has to say. I'll definitely go back and listen on the back end. But, Danny, this will be the last time we chat then before kickoff tonight and the big Ben Johnson stare down.
Indeed.
Where 349.5 is the number he's got to surpass for me to be able to play the Ben Johnson alert moving forward and to just say his name and talk about him publicly for the masses of Washington, D.C. listening to the radio program. Now, here is what I will tell you guys. No one's asked for this, but I'm just going to tell you that I'm going to take good care of everyone no matter what. If the Bears go for like 370, 380, 400, something like that, there will be no gloating tomorrow. There will be no celebrating. This will not. I'm a Commanders guy, first and foremost. I want them to win the football game. I want all of you to be happy. I hope they win, no matter what the Bears do. But Tuesday's going to be a little bit tough. So Monday we're going to, Tuesday's going to be okay, and then Wednesday's going to be a little bit tough. That's when we're going to get into more of a gloating, celebratory, playing the sounder as often as possible, trolling mood. I don't think you guys will have to worry about it. I think 350 is a lot with today's NFL. But Wednesday might be one where you're going to hear that sounder a few times if they give up 350. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, again, I think it's such a low bar. I really wish we'd fought harder to make it a higher number. It's a number that Washington averages per week. And it took the Chargers having a broken offensive line to miss it by 16 yards. So, again, I think they'll cruise to it. I think it's easy and effortless. Spoiler alert, I'm predicting this for tonight. I think they roll past that number early in the fourth quarter and Washington wins. So I think you're going to have your cake and also be able to eat it too. And I always say this, what's the point of having cake if it's not to eat it? I've never understood that analogy.
Well, everybody wins then.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Except Commanders win big and the Bears run up some yards and Ben Johnson goes for 4 bills, and then I get to play the Ben Johnson sounder a bunch for the rest of the season and talk about how good he is every Sunday.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert.
then everybody wins. We can all be happy together.
Yeah, but you forget there's a group of people, though. I'm just looking at, like, Darius and Ryan and Toby, and then I can see myself there on the stream. I'm waving at myself right now. We won't be as happy, though. You see what I'm saying? Like, it'll be great for you. Like, that's everything you want. The thing that we want is what Josh wants, which is to end this, obsession. It's unhealthy. You're too hyper-fixated, too hyper-focused, and it's enough. Enough is enough.
Do you want to play a game?
Okay.
Did my laptop die?
Okay. Let me see. It's not an Apple. So, yes.
It did.
It did.
It died.
It died. Nailed it.
Tell Ryan not to worry. My laptop just died.
Right.
As it does almost every single show.
Don't worry. Grant's laptop died. Do not worry. That's what happened.
Do you think is it a power cord issue or a battery issue?
Both.
Yeah. I think that's where we are. I think it might be time for a new laptop.
I think it's partially also a Grant issue. I just had to throw that in.
Whoa.
I think it is too.
What do I have to do with it?
It's the lack of charging your laptop. That's kind of what it is. A little bit.
It's plugged in. All morning.
Yeah. Every Nubs laptop I've had, this would happen. Where like it gets old, and then like you're sitting there, you have to like hold it in a certain way for it to charge, and then that would break. You take it to some computer fix-it place. You know, that like has like a sign that's broken. They're like, yeah, nothing we can deal with it. And then you just buy an Apple. That's what you do.
Got to stick with the Microsoft notebook, I think. But it might be time for a new one of those. All right, Caps tickets as soon as we return. Beltway Blitz and then Jay Gruden at 5. Taking you up to 6:30 on a game day on The Fan.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.